Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for putting Trump in charge of this country. Seems like he's doing everything that you wanted him to do and needed him to do, and you're helping him do it. And we just praise you and thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for helping us get rid of all of these alien migrants in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for exposing all of the deep staters and bringing down Babylon. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us tonight in the things that matter. And we praise you for it. And Lord, we thank you that it will be a blessing to all who tune in. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for filling us with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing with the people who work in and for UBM. We thank you, Father, for Casey and Jenny up there. And we thank you, Lord, for placing in our heart to run after you, Lord. And we praise you, thank you for doing that. That when he hears these Bible studies, that it would just click in him. The revelations would click in him, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you for what you're doing in Casey and Jenny right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for all the people that's going to come on tonight, that tonight's broadcast would be an awesome revelation to them. We thank you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. And all that we do, Lord, we glorify you. You're the author and finisher of our faith, and we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've taught us to cast down all these vain imaginations and the things that harm our walk with you, Lord. We praise you for it. Lord, we thank you that faith is something that you've given us, and that all we have to do is look at Jesus, find out how he walked, and just do the same thing he did. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven tonight that all who need healing will be healed, delivered, and set free this night, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Missy, go ahead.
I saw talking about President Trump and executive orders. The executive order that illegal aliens, their children that are born here, are not to be naturalized, I guess you could say. Is that what that's called? Anyway, automatic citizens. And a judge ruled, I think in Washington, maybe Seattle area, ruled that it's unconstitutional. And
That won't last long.
Yeah, well, Father, he just asked you to get it through, Lord. Lord, I think back when they started doing that was back in the Civil War times and the Africans that were brought over and stuff like that. But Lord, these people are coming into the country illegally. If they're here legally, I can see it. But they're here illegally and having children. So, Father, we just ask you to work in the hearts and the minds of all involved that are blocking this, and change their hearts and their minds. And even we ask you for people to back President Trump, that the people let their voice be known, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for getting it through, and that it will go through and be implemented in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
How
are they going to prove that their child was born here if the birth certificates are going to be annulled because of the Republic? I'm just asking stupid questions, but... Go ahead, Julie. Go ahead. Missy, you through?
Yeah, for now.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
I'll just add on to that. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for doing all these wonderful, amazing things. And we just bind up all these works of darkness, the powers of principalities that be, these rulers of darkness that are resisting the law. They're lawless. They want to sympathize with these people for some reason. All these people that are even housing the illegals to protect them, and even coming out and saying that I will not answer the door to ICE when they come knocking. And they're rebelling and they're resisting, and bind up all these spirits of lawlessness. And Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing and your anointing, and to enforce the law in this land, the things that have been done, because complacency and just dummying down of the people, not realizing that it is it's been a privilege that, you know, to be in this country, but they have been abusing, not to mention just all the terrible things a lot of these illegal people have been brought in this country to do, and the plans behind it. So Father, we leave mercy and justice into your hands, Lord, but these people who are here illegally, that they would be deported, and they want to be here, they have to come through the system and get legalized the right way, as everyone else who's been a legal citizen here, and go through the process to become a citizen here, like it's always been. So we thank you, Lord, that for doing what we cannot do. I thank you, Lord, for the angels who are helping all of the military and the National Guard and all of the troops that have been sent down to the southern border and going into the cities, these safe cities and all these places where these illegals are, and they've already arrested several already. And I thank you, Lord, they've already taken them on in, Lord, and I thank you for what you're doing, and that on day one this started, and there's going to be a lot of people, Lord, who are going to be protected, and this is part of the safety in this country again, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that people are going to see the light here very, very, very soon about all the stuff that's going to come forth. In Jesus' name, things have been hidden, and they've been just been controlled, mind controlled for so many things, and lied to about so many things, and all that stuff is going to come forth and exposed very, very soon about why and who they've been supporting. And Lord, let there be repentance. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for making these new states appreciate what they're doing now, what they're able to do now, and able to come across the border without having to use a visa or any of that kind of stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Andrew.
I just came on, so what if there's some people like you would want to be American, you know? And how would we pray about that too? You know, that we would. The Lord knows what He's doing when it comes to that. So thank you, Father, for taking care of that too. Just in case there be a few people there that would be our brethren. In Jesus' name, I pray. But if they are our brethren, they can even go back to their country too to spread the gospel there too. So that needs to be considered also, Father God. Amen.
Amen. I believe Trump, when he first started out, he said you can go now and you'll be able to come back and do it legally almost immediately. But if you don't go back and we have to get you out of here, you'll be barred from the United States forever. Now, somebody the other day said it was 20 years, but I heard him say forever. So he may have changed his mind. But anyway, All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Judy.
I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to what's going on to the new fire up in Los Angeles, but Lord, I lift these people up to the throne of grace. I pray a protection on everyone, getting them out of the area safely, that there's minimal deaths, Lord, and I pray for all the firefighters that are up there. And I know that there's even a prison up there that brought a whole bunch of the men out there to help the fire out. They were willing to do it, and so serious times up there, Lord, and I just pray your blessing and your protection and your anointing, and that the wind conditions would die down, Lord, that there would be favor in preserving the land, that they don't get to do what they want to do up there to the extent they've started. Father, I praise you for your mercy on what's happening up there. Lord, help them get that fire put out in Jesus' name. And the other fires that were started over a week ago.
Thank you, Lord, for getting it all put out real quick. In Jesus' name. I think Trump's headed out there in a day or so. Yeah. Go ahead, Teresa.
People have lost homes. You know, they've lost their lives. You know, their livelihood. You know, I know there's, you know, in the park that burned down, I know there's, you know, trafficking tunnels. But I mean, there's been people in general that have lost their homes and they've got broken hearts. And so, you know, and I was just looking at my pictures of my home in, Bonner's Ferry, and, you know, and I'm brokenhearted about that. You know, I still own it, but it is for sale. But going up there right now, you know, it's kind of maybe, maybe not. And so, but I'm missing it. And so, and I feel how people feel when, you know, they're, you know, they put their heart into it. They put their life into it. They put their love into it. And, you know, and then they just lose it all. So I would like to pray that God, in Psalm 34, it says, you know, like people in North Carolina just wiped out. You know, and I know it's all over. You know, people going through the snows, like in the Great Lakes. Let's see. In verse 18 in Psalm 34, it says, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Can I start in 7, verse 7, just a few more scriptures? Okay, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And then I'm going to skip to 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. I'm going to go to 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. 18, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. And so, do you want to pray, or shall I pray? I'll pray according to these scriptures. But
go ahead.
If you want to pray, go ahead.
You go ahead. That'll be fine.
Heavenly Father, I ask that you give me how you'd have me to pray. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I lift up everybody who's got a broken heart, not only in this country, but the world over. Lord, your people, I'm sure a lot of your people have broken heart. And Lord, you know, I'm brokenhearted about my home. So, Lord, I thank you that your angel, Lord, encamps round about us, your people, because we are fearing you and you are delivering us. And we are tasting and seeing that you, Lord, are good and good to us. Blessed are we because we are trusting in you. We are fearing you, Lord. You've given us the fear of the Lord. We, your saints. And there's going to be no want to us who fear you. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but we that are seeking you, Lord, we shall not want any good thing. Your eyes, Lord, are upon us, your righteous, and Lord, you help us to be righteous. Create in us your righteousness. Take away our unrighteousness. By your stripes you healed us, and your ears are open to our cry. And we, your righteous, cry, and you, Lord, hear and deliver us out of all our troubles. You, Lord, are nigh to us that are broken heart. Thank you for healing our broken hearts with your blood atonement and our behalf, Jesus Christ. And you save such as be of a contrite spirit. Lord, we're contrite. If we need to be contrite, make us contrite. Many are the afflictions of us, your righteous, but you, Lord, deliver us out of them all. Thank you for keeping all of our bones. Not one of them is broken. In your name, Heavenly Father, and my Lord Jesus Christ, in your name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for mending hearts. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? We'll pray for David's computer. It's sick. It has been sick. In the name of Jesus, we command that computer of David's to be healed in Jesus' name, and it'll work better than it ever has before. And we praise you for it, Father, for your shield of protection around it. Thank you, Lord, that everything is preserved, and it's going to work like a brand new in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord, for the warm weather tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be up in the 50s tomorrow. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That don't sound like my boy, it is to me when it's been down in the teens. That's hurting cold. Go ahead, Benita.
Yes, it is very, very cold. Not enjoying the negative degrees very much. Just wanted you guys all to agree with me. My daughter decided to leave the cold, so right now she's on a plane from LA to Hawaii, and she's gonna she's always on the move, that girl.
Okay.
Supposed to be in the high 70s over there, so she decided that's where she needs to be. So, Lord, just protect her as she goes, and just guide her and lead her, Lord, and open her eyes even in Hawaii to the truth of your truth, Lord, to the truth of the Bible and to the truth of Jesus. Thank you for protecting her and her friend Christy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, let her meet a good Christian over there that would minister to her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. In that nice, warm weather. Whew. Oh, my. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. Look at Kayla. Hey, Kayla. Hey, Kayla. Hey, sweetie. Big old blue-eyed gal. Maybe turning black now, or brown. All right, anyone else? She's a pretty baby. She's got a big mouth, though. I'm telling you, that girl can scream. When she lets out a scream, you can hear it downtown. Go ahead, Anna. She's going to be a good opera singer. Go ahead.
I have a question, and I don't know if anyone's got an answer, but so we've kind of run into a problem with parenting, and I thought I'd see if anyone's got any advice or wisdom. OB, I don't know what else to call it other than hyper-confesses, and he was doing it for a while, and we kind of got it under control, and he's doing it again now, and it's it makes me feel like kind of gets on my nerves, makes me tired of answering it. But I feel like it's also like just like a, maybe a spirit of condemnation on him or something. But it'll be like just for an example, it'll be like, Mama, I have to confess. I was trying to wake up my siblings this morning because they all share a room. And, well, what were you doing? Breathing hard, playing with my animal and my stuffed animal in his bed, like things that are not even sin. And he's paranoid about every thought that he's having that's not sin. Or maybe, you know, he knows his heart's not right, which is good. And he's confessing, which is good. He's being open with me, which all those things are good. But sometimes it just seems like totally excessive. And like I said, you know, gets on my nerves, which I know is a problem with my heart. But it also seems like he kind of gets in a mood of condemnation where it's like he thinks there's something wrong with everything he does. And yeah. I feel like it's not a good balance. And I don't know, maybe no one's ever dealt with this. But I thought I'd throw it out there.
We always in the position that David and I are in are always trying to get him to confess it. So I wouldn't have a whole lot. Go ahead, Julie.
I think it could be a religious spirit and a self-accusing yeah. spirit. And that's what comes to my mind. It's just a religious spirit and, you know, yeah, overdoing it. Maybe it's, yeah, just overdoing it. Yeah. But it could be a self-condemning spirit, you know, self-accusing, self-condemning spirit.
All right, Joe, you got it, buddy.
I would say that I got the same as Julie said. It's self-condemning. Of course, I was having the same problem a few months ago, a couple of weeks ago. The same thing is you're feeling so guilty about everything is guilty, but I was just trusting the Lord, praising the Lord. It will get over, and the Lord gave me victory about that. But sometimes you're just feeling is you're eating something because the people are drinking something, and you're feeling guilty about it, and that's not a good thing to feel condemnation about it. So I just give it to the Lord. I says, Lord, I cannot do that. The victory you already got on the cross, I just stand for it. And the Lord gave me victory. Just trust yourself. Just trust the Lord, not yourself. Sorry, trust the Lord. He's doing it. And but be patient about it. That's what I was it myself as well.
Amen.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Joe. Thanks, guys. I think that's good. Also, another thing was, I was wondering if I should discipline him or not. Like at first I was, because he was expecting to be, and he seemed like he wouldn't be free of his guilt unless I did. So I was kind of disciplining him, not overkill. But now it seems like, man, I can't spank every thought in your head, but it's almost like he expects me to. Like he feels like he's not free until he is, so.
Go ahead, Jill.
Just another thought I had, well, I guess I would just encourage him to say, it's like, okay, you've confessed your sin that's wrong. You know, now you confess Jesus. He took that away. You don't do it anymore. And you don't have to think that way about yourself anymore. You know, kind of, you know, letting him go. You know, it's like, okay, you're free. No.
Yeah.
That's the only thought I have.
One thing that he needs to understand is every thought is not a sin. It's from taking a thought and carrying through with it that's a sin. So you might, you know, try to explain what that means to him. And, you know, just tell him, hey, look, that thought you had, is thoughts are not a sin because you can't control those sometimes because of where they come from. And you say the enemy's there to get you convicted and wants you to stay in a place where he's got control over you every time. And it hinders your walk when you listen to him. So the best thing to do is just rebuke that thought and go on. If that's the problem now, that's what it sounds like, but I don't know.
Yeah, we've talked about that. And he'll be like, but I didn't repent. I didn't cast it down.
You don't have to. Just cast it down.
But I didn't cast the thought down. But these are all good things. Thank you, guys. I will re-go over these things again. Thank you, Lord. It's going to, Lord, I just pray right now. I thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. And I just rebuke, Lord, that these things we've talked about, self-accusing spirits, self-rejecting spirits, religious spirits, all these things, we cast them down. We agree together. These things have no authority here. And this guilt over feeling a lack of repentance, we cast that down too. Yeah. Condemnation, you go. And I thank you, Lord, that this household is free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I noticed that here back in the summer. He did that to me a few times. That's okay, you know. I said, if you ever do that again, boy. No, I didn't see that. All right. It could be. Could be. Somebody said that maybe he's just seeking more attention. I'd be a, you know. Could be, Monroe.
That could be. He loves one-on-one time. He just soaks it up. That's his, like, his love language. He loves to have it when it's just me and him, and he doesn't get a whole lot of that now that there's four of them. So I'll keep that in mind. Thank you, Monroe.
Yeah. Yeah, Oba's special. I really like him. He got him a new drum set, y'all. That boy's going to be good with that drum set. I guarantee you. Yeah, Julie.
Is he gonna play tomorrow night?
Not on the drum kit yet. He's got to learn it out a little bit better.
Yeah, it takes. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say he still plays on Monday nights, his djembe.
Yeah, that boy's got a lot of rhythm. He really does. He's it's just natural for him. I've noticed that with him. I've told him too. So. All right. Anyone else? All right. I wanted to speak tonight a little bit. I was hoping that some more people would come in. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, Michael, before you go on the subject, I just want to say about it's a good message from you yesterday about the giant and the lad goes a lot. I already got the victory now, but I just want to confess that was a good message to show me my giant was patient. So Lord already gave me a victory about that. So I confess my victory about no more anything from the enemy. So I got the victory there. So thank you very much, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Father. You have something, Judy? Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I've got hers. If you want to play something that you have,
now. Lost, but
I like that song. I believe that's the first time I've heard it. That's a good song. I wished I'd have wrote it. Anyway. All right. Tonight, does anybody have anything that they want to share before we get started on healing? How to receive your healing, any of that. We're going to just talk about healing tonight. Yeah, Julie.
I don't know. After Teresa read those verses and prayed, I just kind of felt like that song kind of fit, too, with her prayer and her verses. About the brokenhearted. Thank you, God.
Yeah, that was a good one. Okay. Anybody got anything? Testimony. I got a testimony. I'm healed, delivered, and set free by the stripes and blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm standing. The devil is defeated. Bless God, I am victor in God's way. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And so is everybody else that's believing God. Okay, I'm just going to throw some questions. You got something, Missy? Was you waving at somebody? Okay. And let me see here. Hang on just a second. Let me get this. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. What is a casting down of imaginations? Against the knowledge of God. I'll tell you what it is. It's a doctor's report. It goes against the God of the Bible. It goes against everything that the Word of God says. When the doctor tells you that, you have to, what he wants us to do, what the Lord wants us to do. No, Doc, I don't receive that. I have the report that I need, and that's the Word of God. If I had my Bible here, I could throw it up there, but I don't have it. It's the Word of God. You will have to take these tests again in a couple of days. You're not going to find anything in this body because I don't have it. The Word of God says I do. I don't have it. And if the Word of God, that is the truth, I stand on what the truth is and not what you're telling me. That's the attitude that God wants out of His people. You don't have to bow down to the devil. You don't have to bow down to man. You don't have to bow down to anything but the Lord God Almighty. That's what he wants out of us, to stand. Well, I got the bad report. He says I got cancer. Well, the good report is this. By his stripes, you were healed. You've already been healed of that. Don't receive it. Don't accept it. Stand on what the Word of God says. And if they keep hammering on you, You got to do this, you got to do that. No, stand. Said, you can have yours. I want mine. This is the truth. That might be fact, but this is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. That's fact. The truth can change fact every time. Every time. If you believe. Go ahead, Missy. Wait a minute. Andrew was ahead of you. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, they talked about in UVM about imagination faith.
Yep.
You know, you want to transpose that imagination for the good imagination. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, I'm glad you did, because that was where I was going with it. So in your imagination, we want to believe what the man says because of our upbringing in the natural realm. We're in a different kingdom now. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of light. We're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore. And we declare and decree what the Word of God says in every instance. We don't allow man, well, I'm going to put it this way. We don't allow the devil to tell us that we have this or that or the other. Only thing that can tell us what we have is the Word of God. The Word of God says we're healed, delivered, we're set free. We walk in this earth to bring the light of heaven down here. And that when you go in, you tell that doctor, nurse, or whatever, you tell them, you say, no, the Word of God says I'm healed. I don't receive that. Take your test, because this is going to prove you wrong. And you stand on it. Stand on it. Every time. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, me personally, I avoid, like the plague, that giving anybody, anything, an opportunity to speak a curse on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, stop them right there. Whoop, 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 whoop. Stop. Yep. Go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, like for instance, if I'm around my mom, you know, it's like I'd, you know, and, you know, I mean, I'd be feeling good or something or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I do my very best to not even let her know. I try and hide it as much as I can so I don't have to go through the speaking of what she sees or whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, still, you know, even so, I have to confess, you know, if she does, I have to confess, you know, I'm healed, you know, but, and another thing, you just touched on it, Michael, you kind of stole my thunder there a little bit, but how I would put it would be, you know, don't look. I'm learning, and I can't remember the last time I did this, but just I've come to realize not to look for something to call it. It doesn't matter, you know, because you're like you said, you're not under the curse. Yeah, it's a lie. I don't receive this lying symptom. You know, whatever it may be. And you just don't accept it. Because I'm not under the curse.
Yeah. You have to be really dogmatic about it, too. You stand on it. And God, boy, look at there, my daughter, my son down there. Glory to God, they coming against that enemy. Angel, go down there and touch him or her. Go ahead, Julie.
Are you asking just anything regarding healing or anything, the high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Or you just want to, are you talking mostly
what I'd like to talk about tonight is receiving your healing, mostly.
Okay.
How do you receive your healing?
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so in that regard, when you feel like, for instance, you're getting a fever, or you feel like you're becoming congested, or you feel like an ache or pain in your body, you cast it down and you confess what the Lord says. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I have a healthy body. No evil shall come nigh my dwelling place. And this is a holy, my body is a holy place. And I don't receive anything into my body that's a virus or sickness or anything else. So it's just, you know, confession, you know, agreeing with the word and casting down all those other, the symptoms, not letting the symptoms, the physical things, control. Because once you start casting it down, I believe that's, if the sooner you can start doing that, not even giving it, you know, any, a name or whatever, just like, no, I'm healed, you can't touch my body, and just confess, you know, in place of congestion, my sinuses are clear, nasal passages are clear, and smell everything just fine, or there's no aches and pains in my body, there's no stiffness in my body, whatever, it's just opposite of, you know, thanking God, you know, just thanking God that he's healed me. I'm not under the curse, like Missy was saying.
Amen. Amen. You have to stand on what the Word of God said. That's what God wants us to do. That's the fruit that you're bearing of Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. When you stand on the Word and what the Word says. Now, I'm not advocating not to go to the doctors. I personally don't go to them. I'm scared of them. They done killed too many of my family. But I'm not scared of God. God, I know God healed. Just like the other day we talked about. Remember when I was telling you about my arm? I woke up that morning and it was, golly, it was pain, just extreme pain. I knew what it was. It was a rotating cuff. I'd had it in this arm here. And I remember what Lake told that lady. So I sat down. I said, I'm not going to have this. Jesus. And I'll be honest with you. It was intense pain. Extreme pain. I would do that and it would just hurt so bad. Hurt so bad. I couldn't scratch the back. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't raise it up above this high. And I just sat down in my Chase Lounge back here. And I just started praising God. And I knew that God was here. The presence of God was here. Didn't feel anything. I just know. How many of you know you have a knowing when God's there with you? And I just started telling the Spirit of God in me to move out to my flesh. Like it, Lake told that lady to do. Start pushing the Spirit of God out to your flesh. Start moving moving it out to your flesh. Then he told her, he said, is the Spirit of God, are you saved? She said, well, you know I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. Got kind of huffy about it. And he said, well, if you're saved, is the Spirit of God in you? Well, you know the Spirit of God is in me. Then he said, where is it in you? Well, it's in my spirit. He said, all right, I want you to sit down in that chair, not say nothing, and start asking, or start pushing. He's told her, start pushing the Spirit of God out into your flesh. And I said, well, how you do that? I'm like her. She said, that's just crazy. That's what she was thinking. But he did that for a little bit. He said, now, is the Spirit of God out in your flesh yet? She said, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. So he, all right, he just shut up for a little bit, he said. And she got to thinking about it. And directly he asked her again after a few minutes. He said, is the Spirit of God out in your flesh? She said, yeah. The Spirit of God is out in my flesh now and in my spirit. And he said, okay, if the Spirit of God is in you, is there any death in your spirit? She said, no, not if the Spirit of God is in there. He said, well, the Spirit of God is now in your flesh. Is there any death in your flesh now? She said, no, I'm healed, glory to God. She jumped up and she was completely healed. Completely healed. And I remember that, and I was sitting down in there, and I just took my hand. When I felt the presence of the Lord, I said, Spirit of God, get in my flesh. And I said, I'm going to put my hand on my shoulder where it's affected, and I'm going to let the power of God go in that shoulder and get that, move that pain out. And I did that. It, you know, I didn't sit there very long either, probably a minute, minute and a half. And something, I believe it was the Lord told me, said, now raise your hand, Michael. So I just raised my hand. Whoa, glory to God. No pain. I said, whoa, glory to God. That, whoa, that's just like I did when I had my right, had it in my right arm many, many years ago, 25 years ago. And I said, man, this works. So that's what you have to do. You have to stand on what the Word of God says. By His stripes you were healed. Yes. And just stand on it. When all fail, it don't make any difference what you feel in your body. It don't make any difference what you see that your body's doing. It makes no difference whatsoever. What only thing that works is the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. And just stand on it. When everybody else is saying, man, you're going to die, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the next thing you know, it's gone. It is gone completely. Yeah, Missy.
What he was telling her to do was use her imagination. Our yes. Imagination, I think, is the most powerful thing.
Yeah.
Connected to our faith. It's the most, I mean, it's like, if you can imagine it, you know, just keep imagining it, you know, just keep imagining it.
Amen. How many times? You're right. That's some confession. Look that word up in the New Testament. Paul just takes it to another level. Jesus took it to another level. You're right. Confess it. Yeah, Andrew.
Confessedly is the mystery of godliness manifested in flesh. First or second Timothy 3:16. And it's got a few things you have to, and they're all past tense, you know. And I suddenly got that the very next day after you told it the first time, Michael. But I was thinking on the manifestation in the flesh. It's just I was using that verse in Galatians 2:20, and you know, you want to overcome the temptations and stuff, you know. So and wow, so praise God! I like that story, Michael.
Yeah, I do too. That's a wonderful story. It's a good story. I was looking for something here just a minute ago. All right, anybody else? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Pat.
Just thinking on another, it's actually one of the reasons I posted that verse, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And I was just on the, well, in kind of in one sense, I know that I can be, like when I go to work, even if I'm, have pain or something, I can go to work and, if I get engrossed in something else, you start to focus on something else or doing a task or whatever it would be. All of a sudden, it's not all of a sudden, it's just you're not thinking on it and the pain you're not bothered by it, goes away because you're focused on it. It's almost, I've caught myself many times, I'll be engrossed in something and then it'll dawn on me that the pain is gone. And of course you start thinking, well, wait a minute now. If I quit working now, pain's going to come back. And, you know, you start have all these thoughts and whatever. But the simple fact of the matter is your mind is completely off of it and focused on something else. And what better, you know, thinking about that scripture that I was trying to figure out where it was at, but it's, I think it's in Psalm 119 where, in fact, I'm looking for it here. I got off track. Psalm 119, is it 89? Psalm 119. I'm spinning through my Bible here. And these healing scriptures of truth that we rest on and learn to rest on. I mean, because Michael, you said something's kind of interesting, you know, that the facts have to give way to the truth. And just that, you know, Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And if you know, when you think about that and just ponder that God, you know, established his word and set it in heaven, and it's non-negotiable. It's not changing. He put it there. He settled it. It's a done deal. And when we find aspects of his word that apply to our problem, we have that, you know, that anchor, obviously, is that word doesn't change. It's true whether I feel it or I don't feel it. And in verse 90, it says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." In other words, it was true then, it's true now, and it'll be true later. It's always true. And his faithfulness, his faithfulness to support and back that word is to all generations. And then he says, "Thou hast established the earth and it abideth." And, you know, if you think about it, the planet, this planet is kind of a proof in a way, you know, of all the kingdoms and all the wars and everything that has happened on this planet. And, you know, people have come and people have gone, and, you know, storms have come and storms have gone. Hurricanes have done this, but you know what? The planet hasn't changed. It's still here because God said it. He created it. He put it in place, and it doesn't change. The oceans still pound against the shores, and they don't change. They're still there. Everything is still there. which is kind of a testament of his word. You know, it's, you know, he put it, he created it. He didn't, you know, he wasn't taking suggestions from anybody. He created it, spoke it into existence, and now it stays and nothing can change it. And in verse 92, it says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. And I was thinking, you know, that what is the law that, you know, that we're thinking here? Just the very law that I mentioned, that his word is established and settled in heaven, and it's stronger than law. It doesn't change. It's a, you know, like the law of gravity doesn't change. And so, finding the way to rest upon that unchangeableness, that settled fact or the settled truth that is there in his word, and using what we have in our mind, our imagination, to focus upon that, to realize that healing and every other promise. So I think that's kind of where I'm at, but I know that, you know, it takes a walking out of this process as well. And I think that's where, like Missy was saying, you know, what I like to avoid those situations that are going to test that, you know, because, you know, it's one thing to say, stand in it, but how does that flesh out? How does that work? Well, it probably works when Missy's mother is saying certain things or whatever, or, you know, it comes from anywhere, any person, you know, it comes from my, coworkers at work. It comes from any way that the devil wants to bring those things to you. And every one of those attempts, there's a spiritual motivation, or there's a spiritual purpose behind that to, what was that verse in 2 Corinthians that is there to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and to, you know, it wants to conquer us, to bring us down, you know, and to take our mind off of that, those truths that the Lord has given us in the scripture. So, it all comes down to the battle is right in here. And that's where the conquering has to happen. You know, it's not out there. It's in here somehow. And I'm going to ponder on what you were saying there about pushing the spirit out to the flesh and applying that. See how that's applied. So thank you, Michael. Where did you get that story from, John? What, is that in a book or something from John Lakes?
It's in that big book, I believe, where I got it, Pat. Robert Lyrden's John G. Lake book. That big one about that thing.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where it came from. I had it in my notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and all right. Oh, I'm sorry, you through? Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was just thinking, what's that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where it says, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewing. But the decaying outward man is what you wanted that spirit to get out into that flesh to heal it. So, you know, if the outward man was decaying in you, that infirmity was decaying. So that's, I was wondering if that verse could even be applied. I'd have to look at it. I'm not sure.
Sounds like it can.
We faint not. We faint not is how that one starts too, you know. So you didn't faint, Michael.
Well, that's a good thing. I tell you, I've got this thing that Charles Kapp, I don't know, he millions of these things have been put out there. It's called God's Medicine. And Charles Capps, if you remember, him and his daughter did the Quantum Faith little booklet that they put out on quantum faith. And it's just awesome. Here's what he says in this God's Medicine. It's something for you to confess for yourself, you know. And he says, God's Medicine, to be, this is his instructions for this, to be spoken by mouth 3 times a day for 10 minutes each time until faith comes, then once a day to maintain faith. If circumstances grow worse, double the dosage. There are no harmful effects or side effects, it says. There are no harmful side effects. And the first one is this. Jesus is the Lord of my life. This is something he recommends you confess out loud. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Sickness and disease have no power over me. I am forgiven and free from sin and guilt. I am dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. Glory to God. And then he quotes Colossians 1:21 and 22. He gives you the verse. And that's what we're supposed to do, is confess the word of God over ourselves and our family. Go ahead, Andrew. And listen, excuse me just a moment, Andrew. The quantum faith works the same way. What you speak, you can form with your mouth and you can make happen. If you need whatever you need, you start speaking it, start speaking it, start speaking it, and keep speaking it, and keep believing, it'll happen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, you remember the story you were telling us, was it John G. Lake also, where he told them to come back every month and they filled them with faith? And here's his steadfastness, his fighting the good fight of the faith. Because he's coming, but there was the one guy, he went for 28 days and didn't go for the full 30 days. And he called him on the phone and said, why didn't you come today? And he goes, oh, well, I got healed.
He told him, he said, is that the kind of guy you are? You don't fulfill what I ask you to do? And the guy said, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, I got healed last night. He said, oh, okay, well, that's good. That's exactly right.
But really, he was helping this guy to come every day. And who knows how many times they did this with people. You know, they probably even had sessions with maybe a few of them. To show them how to fight the good fight of the faith. And to lay hold of that eternal life. Yeah, so that's really neat, you know. And I'm just tickled about it.
Yeah.
When you look at it that way, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else that I learned from Lake and people like him. He said, you remember what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, if you pray for somebody for 99 times and they get healed on the 100th time, you've prayed 99 times in vain. No. That might have been the only silly thing he ever said, but here's what should happen. Listen, when you pray for somebody, or you pray for yourself, you may not have, at that particular time, you may be distracted or something. This is the way they put it. You might be, and he said, do not make a doctrine out of this. Do not make a doctrine out of it. He said, it'll mess you up if you do. But he said, I'm trying to tell you that sometimes when you pray, you may not have that 100% power of God available to somebody, that you put that 100% and they get immediately healed. You might be distracted in your mind, and the power of God might not be, but let's say 40% or 40 times, you know, 40%. And then you go back and you pray for them again with another 40%. There's 80%. Then you go back again. That's three times. Remember, Jesus paid for a man twice. We have to do what Jesus did, right? We have to do what Jesus did. Now, I want to get into something else here, too. What are the hindrances to faith? Now, I know some pastors out there, some evangelists, they'll have a list in the back of their faith book of all the hindrances to faith. But what does Jesus say the hindrances are? Yeah, Pat.
Before we talk about that, I wanted to throw something out about what you said previously.
Okay.
Or the thought that came to me, you know, like you say 40% and then 80% or whatever.
Well, if you hit it twice with 40%, that's 80% through, right?
Right.
Okay.
The problem is, obviously, how do you quantify 40% or 50% or 1% or 2% of faith? There's no way to quantify that. But what, there was an interesting statement, that Curry made, and that was, you put your faith out there, whether it be through prayer or whatever you pray, you put your faith out there and you don't take it back. It stays. In other words, if you had a headache, let's just say normal procedure or, you know, standard procedure in the earth is if you had a headache, you go to the medicine cabinet or whatever, you pull out some aspirin or some, you know, headache pills, you throw them in your mouth. You don't really expect that pain in your head's going to disappear then in a second. But even, you know, the world's concept of, you know, solving headaches, you put a pill in there and it takes a while for that thing to take effect. And, you know, whenever it takes effect and gets in the bloodstream and this and that or whatever, it dissolves and attacks the pain or whatever and it goes away. But even people of the world know that doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it doesn't happen in a split second. It takes time for that to work. And so the same, you know, concept applies to faith. And I'm thinking of that, that prayer that Daniel was making, his prayer of intercession. And I don't remember what it was, chapter 6 or 7 or whatever. And he was interceding for like 3 weeks or whatever, and the angel, I guess it was Michael or whatever, came to him and said, "What, you know, your prayer was answered, you know, the first time you prayed, and we're now just getting to you." So there was a certain delay or something there in that fulfillment. But as I said, that Curry said that you put your faith out there. You apply it and you don't take it back. It's always there working. It's always there functioning. Whatever you, just like God's word settled in heaven, you send it forth and now it's there. It's attached. It's working. It's doing its thing or, you know, whatever. So so I just wanted to throw that in there as far as, you know, what he, in a lot of the testimonies and things that he had been, that I've read and listened to for him, is that he just didn't take no for an answer. He, once the prayer was out, it's a done deal. It's done. One way or the other, it's going to happen. It's done. And he doesn't let anything hinder that believing that that is exactly what's going to happen. So, I don't know. I just find it very interesting. It's, being able to rest in that, you know, so, and that's, you know, my desire and my heart to do exactly the same and enter into that fullness as well.
Amen.
And I know the Lord's bringing us there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Yes, he is, Pat. Go ahead, Joe.
I figured, but Pat said a little bit about it as well. There's only one hindrance to faith, and that is if you believe there is a hindrance. It shouldn't be any hindrances to faith. If you believe, you believe. That's it. End of story. God said it. That settles it. And what, if you think there's a hindrance, there is a hindrance when you won't get healing.
Yeah.
I think you said it. I learned it from you, yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus told us there was two things. One of them was what you just said. It was doubt and unbelief. Because of your unbelief, he said. Matthew 9. And then another one, he said, traditions of men. That's the two things. That's the only two things that Jesus said should hinder your faith. Traditions of men and, let me find the verses. I'll tell you what they are. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He said, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. This is when the lady had the lunatic son, and the disciples couldn't cast it out. And they came to Jesus and asked him why they couldn't cast it out. And he told them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. We are believers. We're not unbelievers. That shouldn't be a problem. If you're a believer, you believe what the Word of God says, and you trust that the Lord is going to back up all of his promises implicitly. Is God a liar? That's what we have to ask ourselves. He's not a liar. And if he's not a liar, then what he says in his book goes. So bless God, you're healed. You know, that's what we have to do. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, Michael, what you confessed again, it was a feeling. You see, the five things that were put in the cave, you know, one of them was feelings. You know, there's the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, and feel. These are all senses. You can savor them. Not savior, savor. You know, like one would taste and smell bread. You know, you're in a bakery, you know. You can do five. They won't let you taste it unless they have samples there. But you can take it home and taste it. But if the other five, four are good, perhaps the fifth one will be good to taste. So the senses of the eyes, you know, the senses of the ears, You know, what is the prophecy here? What is, how do you look in that mirror? Who are you supposed to see? You know, any visual sign, you know, when you look at something, any word that says look or it's a visible thing in the scripture verse, you know he's talking about faith there. You know, oh, taste and see. So we see through the mirror, you know, we see by faith, you know. And of course, to hear, you know, Jesus talked about eyes and ears, and so did Paul on the last chapter of Matthew, of the book of Luke. Not Luke, but in the book of Acts, in the last chapter, he quoted Isaiah about seeing and hearing there too. So these are senses. So I'm just wondering if these senses of ours have to be tuned that way, you know, to the way when you shot your arm in the air and I just said, hey, it feels right, but you heard it, you saw it. You saw it by faith when you spoke it, when you confessed it, you know, because this, you were being manipulated that way by not the tempter, but by the Lord, by whoever, the angel who gave you that message to say that, you know, to do that. So that's very interesting.
I'll tell you something now. Yeah. Let me tell you something else that I did before I sat down there, Andrew, and I made it in my mind right then that pain was going to go. I just knew. I said, it's going. Jesus' name, it's going. And then I went and did that. That's what you have to do. Are you going, when you ask somebody before you pray for them, you ask them, you say, now when I pray for you, what's going to happen? And you make them say, I'm going to be healed. If they've got pain in their say, how are you going to know you're healed? Ask them that. How are you, before you ever pray for them, if I pray for you, how are you going to know you're going to be healed? Well, that pain is going to go out of my back. That pain is going to go out of my shoulder. That pain is going to, you know, whatever. Okay, so if you don't feel any pain, you'll know you're healed, aren't you? Well, you've got something to focus on. In the name of Jesus, pain, go right now. In Jesus' name. You get that. You get whatever it is that's bothering them. And then they know they're healed. They'll jump up. Praise God, I'm healed. Every time. Every time. You can do it. It's the power of God in you. It's nothing that we do. Hey, listen, there's something else. What in the Bible? We're talking about the power of God. People think that people have degrees of the power of God because of who they are. They ain't got nothing to do with it. How do you get the power of God? I can tell you how I get it. Killing Michael. That's how you do it. The more layers of the flesh that you peel off, the more power you'll have of God. I guarantee you that's the way it works. Lord, I thank you that I confess whatever it is that you want to confess, get that over with, then go out there and watch what happened. Because you know the power of God's going to be in you because there's nothing there to hinder it anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's just, golly, just think of all the people that are out there that needing the kingdom of heaven brought down to them. The light of God brought down to them. And who has that light? Woo, glory to God, we do. That's right, Julie, we do. Praise God. And so the best thing to do is every day, peel back some more of that flesh. Peel back off that flesh. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free of that. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, I'm going to go out and find somebody to show them the light of the kingdom of God. Lord, run somebody in front of me that needs a healing or needs a deliverance or needs you. You start praying like that and you'll start healing people, delivering people, setting them free. And the more you do that, the better you'll get at it. And the next thing you know, you'll be walking down the street with a bubonic plague, and the bubonic plague demons will be scattering from you. You could put that spit in your hand, it's full of bubonic germs, and they'll die instantly like they did in Lake's hand. You know? That's where God wants us. Glory to God, I get excited when I start thinking about the things that God, the authority and the power that he's given us, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the same power. Woo, glory to God, we got Jesus, we got God himself in us. And all we have to do is get out there and find somebody. Lord, let me find someone, somebody that needs you. And run them right into me, Lord. Bam, next thing you know, you're in a wreck. No, I'm not going to say that. No, I ain't going to say that. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. All right, Missy, go ahead.
What helps me a lot is I think about the fact that, okay, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Okay? In heaven, there's no curse, and there shall be no curse anymore, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. And one thing that I asked the Lord, you know, at times is rule and reign in my heart. That's where his throne is. As far as I'm concerned. And in the heavenlies, there is no curse. He's set us with him. He made us to sit with him in the heavenly places. And I think it's Colossians says, if you were raised with him, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not the things which are on the earth. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where am I hidden? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When I dwell in the heavenlies, when I have that realization and I imagine that, you know, like no matter where I am, you know, the Lord's with me. I'm with the Lord. I don't look at the things that I see. I don't look at the things that I hear. I'm not tuned to the physical realm. I'm tuned to the spiritual realm. I'm dwelling in the heavenlies, and in the heavens, there is no curse. Satan can't touch me.
Uh-oh.
And that means I am healed because God said I'm healed. Jesus became a curse for me. He's given me everything that he is. He is my inheritance. He isn't sick. I'm not sick. I was crucified with him. I don't live anymore, but he lives in me. I'm dead unto sin and alive unto God. And I let not therefore sin reign in my mortal bodies to obey the lust thereof. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I mean, these are all these things that just go through my mind, you know, and I think about it and I confess them. And I'm not saying that I'm there yet, but I know that it greatly encourages me. And I know if I continue with that at some point, you know, I mean, it's like the light of the Lord is just going to burst through. And all the darkness has to go. And that darkness is nothing but the curse. And this physical realm is just temporary. It's a vapor. It's just a flicker, you know. But anyway, these are just all these things that go through my mind, and I meditate on and think about and confess to the Lord, and I just believe that, you know, that's just really powerful. Jesus became a curse for me, and we don't need to be under the curse. We just, you know, our words are very powerful, and our thoughts are very powerful. And I have the mind of Christ. I have the eyes of Christ. I have the ears of Christ. I have the mouth of Christ. I speak as an oracle of God. I have his heart. I have his hands and his works. I have his walk. You know, that's all I know to do is just confess his word over and over who I am. These hands aren't mine, Lord. They're yours. I give them to you. I am not my own. This mind is not mine. It's your mind. My heart is not mine. It's your heart. And so on and so forth. You know, these are just things that I speak and meditate on and think about. So that's just, I don't know what to say. It just really encourages me. It gets me really pumped up, you know, thinking, you know, you need me to sit with him far, you know, far above all the power of the enemy. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and I love not my life unto death. You know, I love to just, if I don't sing it, just even say the words of the song Overcomer. I'm an overcomer more than a conqueror. I'm a winner. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have dominion and I walk in authority. I've been washed in his blood. I've been kept by his love. And by his stripes I'm healed. I'm free. Jesus gave me the victory. You know? So, anyway.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the word and the truth of you made us to sit with you in the heavenlies. We're seated with you. In Jesus' name, praise you.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Missy.
I was thinking when Missy was talking about that, and then I was thinking, okay.
Okay, I'll be right back.
I was thinking, what am I waiting for? You know, am I anticipating something else needs to happen? You know, like all of these things are true, but am I still waiting for something to happen in order to make that happen, to, you know, accomplish that work in that way or whatever. And I was thinking, the the Holy Spirit has been, you know, we talk about it, we know it, we've received the Holy Spirit. And, but if you ponder a minute about what that means, the Holy Spirit from God is the same one Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same Spirit that accomplished all of the miracles in the Bible. It's not a Holy Spirit that's someplace out here or in that I'm going to have to, you know, humble myself under the mighty hand of God and confess and whatever and receive more of that Spirit, of His Spirit. No, He's already given me His Spirit. The very same, that Spirit that parted those Red Sea, that Red Sea, at Moses' obedience to God when He said, raise that staff. That one Holy Spirit has never changed all through history, and He is the very same Spirit dwelling in each and every one of us. And I was thinking that, you know, God has in establishing His word, setting these things into place. And you know, we maybe think, well, okay, well, if, how do I make it happen? I mean, what has to happen in order to see things start to churn or, you know, start to work, start to function, to see this explosion of power, to take advantage, if you say it that way, take advantage of these truths, the truth, the power, the strength, all of these promises. And I think about, very simply about, I've given this example before, but, you know, this house I'm sitting in right now has been, wired with, you know, circuitry going to this light switch over here and a light up here. And that whole thing has already been put into place, and it's a very passive, built, established, set in place. All the breakers are turned on, everything's turned on, and then it's more or less resting static there until I go over there to that light switch and turn it on. And when I turn that on, I'm connected to the nuclear power plant that happens to be about 7 miles down the road here, in Pennsylvania. But I'm connected with more power all the power that I need. Unfortunately, all I need right now is, you know, the 2 or 3 watts running this light bulb. But if I needed to plug in my refrigerator or something, as soon as I plug it in, the power is there to service that or whatever else. So I think the onus is on us to turn the switch on in our life, you know, in whatever that means. And so I think it's, for me, it's discovering, asking God to, you know, to separate me from what I may consider hindrances to a letting that power and that spirit flow from me. Because it's not going to flow until it has a need for the power. So, I don't know. I just, I'm sitting here mulling these things over in my mind and thinking, well, what's the problem here? What am I waiting for? Or, you know, that type of thing. So anyway, we have, like Missy said, everything, we have need of has already been taken care of. I guess what's that, thought that, the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done in heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And he's already done it in heaven. It's already all the preparations and everything has been accomplished, set in place. Now all it needs to be done is applied here on earth. And that's our job. So anyway, I'm just kind of spitballing here the whole thing. I'm through.
No, you brought up some valid points. That's good. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
No, it's something what Pat just said there about the Lord's Prayer. Thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. But what does it say in Matthew 18 about binding and loosing in heaven and on earth? You know, it says what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what you loose on, what you bind, I guess, on earth would be bound on earth too. And which you loose, you loose. So, I was just thinking about binding and loosing. And if thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. So what is he telling us to bind and what is he telling us to loose? So, just a thought. That's all. I was making a comment there.
Amen. There's a lot of good scriptures in there that tells us and so many words to just walk like Jesus, right? And if we walk like Jesus, we'll be doing everything we talked about tonight. And that's bearing fruit right there. That's bearing the fruit of Jesus. And it's all to give the glory to who? Not us, to God. That's not that we're somebody, but God is somebody in us. What was it somebody said about Paul? What did he say about Paul? He said he was not a mighty man of God, but he was a man that had a mighty God in him or something like that. You remember that? Somebody said that. I probably didn't speak it just like it says, but I was using my Arkansas language. Yeah, Andrew.
Is it the last verse of Galatians chapter 1? I don't know exactly what it says there, so I closed my Bible. I guess I hit the X instead of that. It might be similar. I don't know if it's what you're looking for, Michael. I think it's similar. The last verse in chapter 1 of, and they glorified Galatia 1. Yeah.
Yeah, glorified God in me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah.
You know, isn't it, if it's good enough for him, shouldn't it be good enough for us? I mean, that's
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's part of those confessingly. In 3:16, is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? I think it's 1 Timothy. Because it's glorified as one of the confessing ones, you know. So the mysteries, the mystery of godliness. But we know that also that we get, since his divine power has given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness. So the mystery of godliness is given, the power is given to us, is by promise.
That's what I was saying, Ben. I said, I'm sitting here talking and nobody can hear me. Oh, me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus bore my sins in the body, in his body, on the tree. Therefore, I am dead to sin, alive unto God, and by his stripes, I am healed and made whole. Glory to God. All of these things are things to confess. I get excited when I read this. And I have been. I've slacked off here in the last few days, but I guess because I thought I was busy. Anybody got anything else they want to pray? I'm going to pray for everybody here in a minute for healing or deliverance or whatever. And all you have to do is receive. Because I'm going to believe that everybody that hears it is going to be healed. Anybody believe that? Amen. Everybody that I pray Amen. For is going to be healed. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Therefore, we refuse to allow sickness to dominate our bodies in the name of Jesus. The life of God flows within us, bringing healing to every fiber of our being in the name of Jesus. Because we are redeemed from the curse, glory to God. And Galatians 3:13 is flowing in our bloodstreams. It flows to every cell of our body, restoring life and health to everything. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that their light comes on. Everybody listening right now, their light is allowed to shine because we speak freedom, we speak health, and we speak healing. And I thank you, Father, that above all things, that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And Father, today, everybody here has prospered in your word. We have spoken the word of God. Now their bodies should show it in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Father, right now, all the work of the enemy has to cease right now in everybody's body. You cease right now in Jesus' name. Sickness and disease, I command you by the name of Jesus and the authority behind that name that you will bow your knee, that you will cease your efforts and cease your works against these people in the name of Jesus because their bodies, our bodies belong to Jesus and not you. You're a trespasser. And we hereby evict you and command you to go to never return, glory to God. Never return in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, every person under the sound of my voice that has any sickness or ailments in their bodies, any addictions, any work of the enemy in their mind or in their body right now, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of that name, I set you free. You are free. And right now, all addictions, all habits, all actions, they stop today. Sickness and disease stops this day. Glory to God. And right now, we speak and command the sickness and disease to leave their bodies and die so that all of our bodies would experience the health, the healing, and the divine health of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Glory to God. So in the name of Jesus right now, I say be free, be healed, be blessed in the name of Jesus. Right now, pain, go. All pain, go. Sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Right now, whatever you couldn't do before, right now, get up and do it right now. Everybody that had problems, do whatever you couldn't do before. Right now, get up. If your leg was bothering you, get up and dance. Glory to God. And all of that, praise God, you're healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Stand now if you couldn't stand before. Raise your arm if you couldn't raise your arm before, glory to God. Take your glasses off and start reading your Bible, glory to God, because your eyes are healed. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you couldn't breathe, breathe now. Breathe heartily, using everything that you got in Jesus' name. Freely breathe in Jesus' name. And we speak to you now. We command your body to function correctly. Everybody's body be functioning correctly right now in Jesus' name. Every organ, every cell, every tissue will respond appropriately to the voice of the Word of God. Jesus' name. And appropriately means be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. I receive it, and I thank you for it, Lord. I know that I'm healed. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And I know everybody out there is healed, too, because the Word of God has gone forth, and it doesn't return void. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I feel the anointing all over. Everybody, the Holy Spirit is working right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Thank you, Father. All backaches are gone in Jesus' name. All body aches are gone in Jesus' name. Female trouble gone in Jesus' name. Male trouble gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Eyeballs be restored as new. Ears be restored as new. Sinuses be restored as new in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Feet be restored as new in Jesus' name. Joints be healed in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that old age doesn't affect us anymore. We're not old. We are restored. We have restored DNA in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it. Every blood cell, do your work against the enemy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Whoo, my. Whoo, I thank you, Father. Now praise him because we're all here. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you that everybody that's listening to this voice right now and later are healed in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, for your healing power going forth throughout the whole communication system of UBM. And we praise you, Father, that they're healed all over this world in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Whew! My. I feel so good. Amen. I'm gonna sleep like a log tonight, Joe. Anybody got a testimony? I have. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was thinking earlier, we're all members of the body of Christ, right? And in Jesus' body, there is no sickness. There is no church. We have divine health. We have divine health, not just healing. Yes. Jesus never needed to be healed because he was never sick. So we have divine health. There's no such thing as sickness, or pain, or healing, or infirmity or anything like that. So we are all healed. We have divine health just like Jesus does. Thank you, Lord, for becoming a curse for us, Lord, and taking all that upon yourself on the cross, Lord, and giving us your perfect, healthy body. And we are members of your body. In your body is no sin, and in you in Epistle of John, one of them, first, second, or third, I think it's the first one, and whatever it says, in him is no sin. Well, Lord, if in you is no sin, then there's no curse in you either. And there's
That's
no
right.
curse in
you. Thank you, Jesus.
Remember that your body. Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Amen.
Oh, I like this. Listen to this, Andrew. There's only one prayer that's answered. It's not prayer that is answered, but the prayer of faith that's answered. It is the prayer of faith that shall save the sick. Believing prayer is not much noise. Believing prayer may not be any noise at all. Believing prayer is a committing, an intelligent committing of yourself to God, and your mind is stayed in God, and your heart is stayed in God, and you're walking in God. You are ready to die rather than to go to anyone but God. This is the real believing prayer. That is the continuous prayer. That is the prevailing prayer. Blessed be God. John Lake. Glory to God. Whew. He believed in the Word of God and that only. He didn't believe in nothing else. Thank you, Jesus. And that's the way we are, right? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Himself only. I don't believe in doctors. I don't believe in psychiatrists. I don't believe in none of that stuff. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to make a preface to all of that. If your faith is not where it needs to be, go to the doctor. You're putting your life in your hands, but if that's what you got your faith in, go ahead. I will say this, more people are killed by a doctor's mistakes than any other thing on the face of the earth. Number one killer. But I believe in my Jesus. Dr. Jesus don't mess up. Well, he ain't no doctor. He's the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, hey, we're out of time. I didn't know that. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's see here. Y'all be blessed, yeah?